You are now listening to episode 31 of I'm an Adult, Now What?, hosted by Jade Pattenden. In this episode, I'm joined by life coach Nadine Stille.
Hi,
Nadine.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. I actually wanted to explain like how we got connected, which was through Wayson. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
So she emailed me and she just said like how impactful like meeting you and talking to you, how impactful that was on her life and how it helped like steer her in the right direction. And then she was suggesting you as a podcast guest because she felt like it would be very beneficial to a lot of listeners. So that was really sweet of her, like what she said about you.
Yeah, I was like, wow. she told me that as well, as like how she'd reached out. And I mean, we had conversations around it before, and she shared the impact it had on her life. And it's like to make that kind of so public, it's like, okay, great.
Yeah. she also like wrote an article on your website, right? Like on the Coach Me Vancouver website.
Yeah.
I read that last night and I was like, oh, it's a really great article too.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, it fits in right with your with everyone listening in, I hope, as well. And you know, it's like expectations that you may have from people around you, like your family and friends, or even society. It's like, hey, I should be doing this, but then feeling something completely different in your heart and not really connecting with everyone else is expecting of you, and how to navigate that. So that was when I heard that, I was like, oh, maybe put it on paper, people, well, or on the web, people might connect with that too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that resonates with like most people. But to be like a life coach is someone who helps somebody who feels like very lost in life, someone who helps like them find their calling or just like what they should be doing career wise. Would you say that's like an accurate description of a life coach?
I would say yes. And there's a few other things that come with that.
Yeah.
So I believe at a very core, people really want to have a fulfilling life.
Yes.
Right, something where belong to something or someone, and have that deep connection and live a happy life, basically.
Yeah.
And so the career and job and your passion, that is a big part of that, but it's not just that.
Right.
So coaching really is looking at personal and professional goals that you have, or identifying them, and then helping you to achieve them. So it's very much, where are you now and where do you want to go, and how do you achieve that? And the coach will help you raise self-awareness of what it is that you want now, what you're longing for. It's not just, yeah, I want to have that. It's like, it's something that is really like deep within you, something that you really deeply connect with, and then really help you step by step to get to that point, and cheer you on along the way and hold you accountable. Sometimes it's a bit like holding up a mirror as well as a coach. It's like, hey, you say you really want this, but you said you were going to do this and you didn't. You know, I'd expected you to say this and this if you really are into this, but this is not coming up. Or sometimes something changes in the voice when someone is talking, and you know, you hear, hey, something has just shifted. So there's a whole lot of observing going on from a coach, and feeding that back. So you have a whole lot more awareness as a coachee, and then take it from there. So coaching is really a transformative experience. A really good coaching does that for you. And it's not, I don't know, sometimes you may see something on social media channels about someone's like in those big conventions, like, yeah, and they're all euphoric, and you know, that happens sometimes, and that's the ideal case scenario in coaching. But
right.
There's also a bit of things in between where it can get a bit tough and uncomfortable. And I think if you really want some change to happen, you need to work through those areas as well. So it's not all lovey-dovey and those you know, really good feelings. There's a, you know, people can expect a bit of uncomfortability, yeah, as well around that.
Right.
And that's when you know you hit something right.
Yeah, I really like that because it's kind of like accelerating growth in yourself, like with the self-awareness. And it sounds like you would do it in a very like gentle way, like obviously not like an aggressive approach where they're like shocked what you have to say, you know.
I think it always depends on the person you're coaching, because some people might need that.
Yeah.
Right? Some people, they might need a bit of a wake-up call and a shake-up.
And you're willing to give them.
Moving. And yes, yeah. As a coach, you're kind of, you're moving where the client is, just serving the coachee. And if someone needs a lot of kindness and empathy and someone to listen to and just be there for them, then that's who I am. That's who a coach is. And if you need a cheerleader and say, I totally believe in you and you're doing that, then, you know, then I'm there with you. I match you. And if someone needs a bit of a, you know, like a boot camp style person, then that's who you can be as a coach as well. It really depends on the situation. But beauty with coaching is that you're really going into a partnership, into a collaboration. There's not someone who has like more kind of power in this. You're really working together to make this happen. And that's where, you know, there really needs to be a good fit for both sides, between the coach and the coachee, to see, hey, you know, you feel that there's a connection, there's some trust, you can openly talk with each other, and that you can build that long lasting relationship. Because even if you say, hey, I just in a adverted commas want to talk about my career and this is what I want to work on, eventually something else is going to come up, how that has impacted you maybe in your life before, and it might be a confidence issue or a setback that you had or something else. And then it's not necessarily a career topic anymore, but it's something on your personal development. That can be quite impactful as well. And you need to be able to open up and trust the person you're talking with. And I guess it's at this point that I also say coaching is always confidential. It's like whatever happens in the room, the coach never says outside or even acknowledges the client. So unless the client opens up first and say, hey, yeah, I'm being coached by Nadine or whoever, then that's fair enough. But you know, you're not acknowledging that, and as a coach, and everything is totally confidential. Me and the coaches I'm working with is part of Coach Me. We've all done training that's accredited through the International Coaching Federation, ICF, and they have a very strict code of ethics, we're all adhering to that. Just to bring that out in the open.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's very comforting to hear for a lot of people, you know, just because it sounds like you might unlock some very vulnerable emotions while you're coaching. And it's just nice to know that there's like a code of conduct behind the experience. And it sounds very like similar to therapy. Like I've been to therapy before, and just like what you're saying, it just sounds very similar to it. So what would you say are like the differences between life coaching and therapy, just so people don't get them confused?
Yeah. So it's actually a very valid question, because I get that a lot as well. There are definitely some similarities, right? You're going to a professional who will help you with something that's going on internally, and that might have an impact on your very real life experiences. And there's a lot of questions being asked. But the background with therapy is that you're healing pain that's been there, like in the past. There's some sort of conflict or dysfunction there, and they have and you're working to resolve those difficulties that come, or that kind of have an impact on so something that happened in the past has an impact on how you're dealing with emotions right now in the present. And so therapy is really about looking into how you function psychologically, mm-hmm. and making sure that you're dealing with the emotions in a healthy way,
right.
basically. And mm-hmm. coaching is kind of self-initiated, so it comes from the client, and you're there looking into personal and professional growth, what I said earlier, and you're working on very specific outcomes. So it's more looking into maybe acknowledging what happened in the past, but you're not lingering around there to resolve anything. You're looking at where are you now and where do you want to go. It's very much like future focused and goal orientated. Yeah, so it's kind of a like following through. Coaching is about following through on the goals and being accountable for them, etc. So there's a bit of an overlap, and both like someone can have both a coach and a therapist, but
right.
a coach is not qualified to work on topics that a therapist is qualified for. That's just right. there's the training just doesn't exactly. cover that, and you need to be very open and upfront about it. So
yeah.
So a lot of the overlap might come, for instance, when someone has been diagnosed, say, with depression, mm-hmm. Or another mental health topic.
Right.
And then you're very much encouraged to let the coach know that you're seeing a therapist, and it's then down to the coach to say, okay, we can work with that. But ideally the coach kind of checks in with the therapist, and there's a kind of a get together, so there's no overlap.
Yeah.
It's also down to say, hey, I'm as a coach, I don't see that I can help you in that sense. So that's where mm-hmm. it's very much out in the open, and you have a good conversation with the coach before you actually go into a longer relationship in that sense.
Right.
But it does happen that, you know, one person has this. A coach and a therapist, that totally works, and you're working on different topics alongside each other.
Right. So if it's like a situation where you're working with say me, and then a realization happens where I realize there's something in my past that is kind of blocking me from functioning like healthily in my current life, mm-hmm. If it's something that you're like, okay, this is something that needs more extensive help, would you say like, hey Jade, like you might want to look into finding a therapist to help you through that, because it's not like in my realm of training.
Yeah, that is a bit of a gray area, because it depends on the topic.
Yeah.
But, I also cannot diagnose anything.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So it could, like, I could encourage you to maybe seek out a therapist and say, hey, this is, you know, yes. You know, this is that. And obviously, if there are some serious issues and I feel that someone is about to, or is talking about self-harm or harming other people, when it goes down that line, then obviously there's a duty for the coach to report as well, mm-hmm. and make sure that everyone stays safe and healthy,
right,
along the line. So, you know, when it goes down those lines, but, you know, hopefully right. everyone's it won't go that far.
Yeah, totally. What made you decide to become a life coach? You, like, what life experiences led you and motivated you to do that?
Mm-hmm. Before I moved to Canada, I lived in the Republic of Ireland, and I was working as a manager in a software company. And my mm-hmm. background there really was more around empowering my team members, training and mentoring. That's something that I was really passionate about. And then somewhere towards the end of that, I got exposed to coaching. Mm-hmm. One, to kind of use the coaching approach for my team members, but I also got a coach myself, and the impact was like so amazing. I could see the impact it had on my own career and how mm-hmm. I dealt with things a lot better. There's a lot on my table at the time, because I took on extra projects, and there's just a lot going on, and that really helped accelerate my career and my personal and professional life. But I could also see the impact it had on my team members, mm-hmm. and that just kind of, it was a beautiful yeah, kind of all around impact. So coaching is one tool to use in certain situations. It doesn't always help with all situations. Sometimes there's a bit more like mentoring or training involved where I would tell you what to do because I'd be the expert in a particular area. Whereas coaching, the belief is that you as the coachee are the expert of your own life. And you know best what is best for you, but you may not yet know that. So the coach is there to help you see that. And by asking the right questions and give you maybe the right challenges and supporting you in a way, you come up with your own solutions and answers. And that's what is so powerful around coaching, because you realize, hey, it's all within you. So it's a very, I always find it, it's very... kind of empowering and good for like confidence levels to realize, hey, this is all me. Once I came over to Vancouver, I was waiting for my permanent residency to come through for my PR, and I couldn't work back then. And also, hey, I went to all these networking events and all these trainings and just like meeting people. And at some stage I realized, hey, there's all these coaches in my network. I was kind of naturally drawn to people who are helping others and who are kind of forward thinking and positive. And then on the other hand, there were all there was a lot of people in my network who just wanted more in their career. They wanted to get there faster, or they didn't know what they wanted and were, you know, needed that clarity that you talked about earlier. And I was like, hey, if only you two like groups of people could talk with each other. So that's how I came up with Coach Me Vancouver, where I thought, it's, you know, more people need to know about the impact of coaching and need to have access to it and have it a bit easier and faster to get access. So I kind of, started working with a lot of coaches and make it easier for other people to get access to. And at the same time, I started my formal education in coaching as well, along the same lines as building up that business. It's just amazing. It's like the stories you hear from clients about what impact it had. What, you know, life changes came out of that. And it's like, it can be quite addictive to, you know, to see, oh my gosh, this is, you know, the this is what the outcome was from a coaching session or two or three. Some, you know, there's always something that clicks into place either at the end, like throughout a coaching session, or, you know, sometimes you need a bit of time to like let it sink in. And between coaching sessions, when you put it into practice, that's when it clicks and you make kind of connections with your, you know, real life situations. So I wanted that for myself, for my coaching clients, but then also help a lot more other people to be involved with that. So I started the Coach Me Vancouver community to kind of have even a larger impact. And yeah, so I still do like coaching myself and consulting, but then, you know, spread the love, so to say.
I was looking at your website, and it's somewhere that people can go. First of all, it's coachmevancouver.com, which I will obviously mention again at the end. So it's like you can go on this website and find a coach. And so are the sessions held like online? Like, can someone anywhere in the world technically coach through Coach Me Vancouver?
Yes, exactly. Okay. That's how it works.
Perfect.
There is some, there's part, so when you go onto the website, there is a section, Find My Coach, and you can like scroll through there and see what everyone's been up to. There is podcasts with the coaches. There is some sessions that we recorded earlier this year. We had a webinar session as well, so you can find that on our YouTube channel or on the website as well. Then you can request a free sample session with a coach, because you need to see, like, both people and both parties need to know, hey, is that someone I can help with? Coaching side, but also, hey, is this the right person for me to take me on my journey, to help me along the way? So you can, you know, anyone who goes on, it's like there's a button called Book My Coach. and or just book, and then you can request a session with a coach and take it from there. I'm the intermediary and kind of connecting people. That's somehow always something that I've done in different ways. When I first moved here to Vancouver, a few months in, I realized I didn't know any of my neighbors. So I started a house party for the entire apartment block. I was like, hey neighbors, bring some food along. We're having a potluck. I want to know who everyone is. And it's like, it was so cool. Everyone had kind of name tags and bought some food. It's like, yeah, we wanted to do this for a long time. So that's somehow always me, the connecting people. And I thought, hey, this is a good way to do it with coaches.
That's so cute. And also, it seems like you have like a natural ability to bring people together or to like to do that. Yeah. So I feel like that people probably picked up on that, and then it helped kind of push you into becoming like a life coach when you realized that.
Yeah, I would say so. There's a lot. It kind of just comes naturally. I like doing it. And it's not just bringing like people together. Sometimes or oftentimes it's resources as well. So if someone tells me, hey, you know, I've been like meaning to do this course, or I'm looking, this is what I'm interested in or whatever. And I read a lot as well. And, you know, I'm connected. And it's like, if I know that someone is doing something or has written a blog or an article, or there's a podcast around it, then I'm like, hey, I know you once told me this and this, you should talk to, you know, this person, or read this article, or this might interest you. There's a new training coming up. So there's always a connection with, I don't know, resources and people, I guess. That's
right.
I don't know. That's just something I do somehow.
Do you think after you became a life coach, did it help you become like a better like friend, a better partner? Like, do you think it benefited you in just your life in general?
I don't know if I say yes to that, and then my friends and my partner was like, so I want to cautiously say yes, but it's probably better if you ask them, like do a quick survey. I think yes, it's just a bit more in tune of what's going on around it. You're listening at a different level, so a lot of the times when we listen to someone, I'm generalizing now, but so a lot of the times, when we listen to someone, we're actually listening and already thinking of what you might be able to reply to this, right? Rather than listening to understand what the other person is saying. Right. And so as a coach, a lot of the training that's going on is to listen to understand and to really kind of hear and see what's going on or what's not going on. So what I mentioned earlier, you're listening at a deeper level. It's like, if this person says they're really into this, then you're expecting their body language to be expansive, right? They're talking with energy and with passion and their face lights up. But if that isn't there, right, then there's a mismatch, and you're taking all this in as a life coach, and you're feeding that back to the person, or, you know, they're not saying certain things, or stuff like that. There's always like, that's as a coach, you bring those skills into any kind of situation. And it naturally comes in. You just then have to be careful not to automatically go into like coach mode and start with coaching questions when you're having a chat. And it's like, let me just, you know, I don't know, as a friend, let me just dump this on you. You don't need to coach me on this. Just listen.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But
I feel like just even the reading someone properly side of things would help you, because like, I think a lot of the time, like things go, I don't know, like they go unnoticed with people, you know, like it's like a lot of people don't pick up on like the fact that their partner, their friend, their tone has changed and their body language is more hostile once a certain thing was brought up, like they miss that. And so I think if you're able to read that, then you can maybe say like, hey, is everything okay? And then like, you're not necessarily going to go into like full on coach mode, but it's like you were able to like pick up on that. And I think that's a very beautiful like trait to come out of your training.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, even if you don't know what's going on, or you, it's like, hey, there was just a shift. You noticed a shift. Something has changed in the energy or whatever. And then just take it from there. What just happened?
Yeah.
What brought that up? And be curious. There's a lot of curiosity, a lot of asking questions.
Totally. Because I think a lot of the time people just, even if they don't want to expand into it at the time, like, it's just nice to know that, like, you're seen, you know, like, it's exactly. Like, oh, she noticed that, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that's great.
And you don't always have to answer right there and then, like you said, sometimes it's a bit of, sometimes coaching, or let me put it this way. Most of the time, coaching questions are questions that will take it a level deeper, right? It's not, hey, how are you doing? That's kind of a question too, but it's more like, hey, what's underlying? What is below there? So you're taking it a bit deeper, and the answers would not necessarily always come real quick in a coaching conversation. So it can take some while, or you may take a question with you and say, this is something I really have to think about. I have no clue what that answer is. So you need to, you know, have a bit of time to, you know, either think about it, or sometimes what happens between coaching sessions, you may be encouraged to write that down, maybe do some journaling around a particular question and see what comes up.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So that's an option too.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And you had prepared some like sample questions, or like a sample coaching session, to kind of explain like how coaching might go for somebody like right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So we're kind of like playing backwards and forwards, like what, you know, most people might be experiencing right now and what might help them. So I've got some questions prepared, and if someone, you know, wants to take note while we're listening, while they're listening in, this is probably the good time to get pen and paper ready. it's just some sample questions, and even if you kind of say the same question to two people, depending on the answer that I would get in a real coaching conversation, I would take my cues for my next question from whatever the answer was I heard before. So there's no agenda of this is where we need to go from a coaching perspective. It's right. the leader is the coachee, the person who's being coached.
Right.
Whatever it is they say, this is where you pick up and kind of dig deeper, right? Mm-hmm. So what I thought the situation is at the moment for most listeners is probably that due to the pandemic, there was an impact on, you know, everyone's schooling and maybe the, you know, final exams, and what impact does that have on studying? What are you going to do at the end of summer if you're maybe through your studies and you're going into your hopefully first job? And how does that work when you're maybe doing most of your studying at home, or you work from home and you don't have people around you, and there's just a whole lot of uncertainty, and maybe, I don't know, even I could even imagine maybe some anger or grief around it, of not having been able to do what you expected to do and celebrate what's, you know, that particular part in your life. So you know, first thing around this is to kind of just recognize what's going on, raising that or getting a bit more self-aware. So a coaching question I might ask is, what's going on in your head right now? Like, what's the logical thing there? And then moving a bit deeper is, what's going on in your heart? Your heart telling you, because it's more of the feeling side of things.
Right.
I might then go on and, what do you discover about those two answers? Are they the same? Are they different? Do they complement each other? You know, be curious about that. And what's important about it? What you just discovered. What if it's all going to work out? Right?
Yeah.
What's a different way of looking at the situation? What would your best friend tell you? What's the gift in here? And what are you grateful for? And what's in your power to influence? What can you do right now? Maybe a tiny thing to be kind to yourself.
I like that.
And compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a lot of questions that could, with answers filled, even, you know, and then more curiosity in between.
Right.
That could fill an entire hour.
Yeah.
People might take this, you know, and just answer that or play it backwards and forwards with a friend right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or just journal a bit about it. It's like, hey, these are some thoughts that came up. This is what came up by me. And be curious. There's no judgment in coaching.
Right.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Yeah. I like that.
It's going in.
Sorry, no, I cut you off there.
No, go for it. What came up for you?
Oh, and I was just going to say, it sounds like it would really lift you out of a pessimistic outlook, and help you see like the optimism in your future. But just, you know, I think when you try and think of things you're grateful for, it helps you, like it helps lift you out of that like rut that you're feeling.
Yeah, you're being straight comes back to something that you mentioned earlier about what is coaching. If like you're kind of stuck and you want to get, you know, it's like from the opposite of being stuck is to get moving, or seeing things differently. So how, you know, what that would that be like for you specifically?
Mm-hmm.
It's so individual. Everyone can, you know, come up with lots of different scenarios. So, you know, two sessions, even with the same questions, can go into wildly different areas.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. It's very, you know, individually focused and then see, so there's in those situations, you know, you might, you know what, you surprise you. And I've seen that actually happening with some people who've reached out. They're like, I have all this time now. My plans are totally bust. And now I have time to actually go and do the side hustle thing that I thought I would never have time for.
Mm.
Right. Huh?
Yeah.
Now I have time to read, I don't know, all these books or spend time with my family or... you know, it's like whatever it is, there might be a gift in there, or and even if not, then that's fine too. There's always a tiny bit there. Just be curious around it.
You are from Germany, correct?
That's it. Yeah.
And so, sorry.
No, go for it. No.
I was just going to say, like, you've lived in Germany, you've lived in Ireland and Vancouver.
Yes, and in Scotland, in England, and in Spain. So, yes, I know, there's a lot. With my native Germany, Canada is my sixth country I'm living and working at. I haven't lived in Germany for... I don't know, it must be long, at least 15 years. It's a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what, like, have each of these places kind of like taught you about yourself? And like, that's a big move each time.
It is. Yeah. I think one of the biggest was, well, apart from obviously crossing the Atlantic Ocean and a whole continent, was from a sunny Spanish island. Of the Canary Islands, that was just off the African coast, to straight into the Republic of Ireland, and from sunshine to more or less rain all year round without actually having been there. So I moved and I had never been to Ireland before. It's like, looking back, it's mad sometimes, but it always worked out. And there's a lot that you can learn about yourself when you don't speak the language and you're trying to open a bank account or do some business accounting in Spanish and you don't speak any Spanish, or you're, you know, looking up the words in a dictionary that was way before, you know, the internet was, well, well, not that old, hang on, let me reverse that. So the internet was there, I could learn it, and there were people around it. But, you know, you can only learn a language so fast, and you still have to do some business accounting, or, I don't know, it's like be on a boat with your team members, and you don't speak the language. You just, there's a whole lot of, you just have to be very resourceful. I think just get things done. I think that was all kind of amplified everywhere I was. And yeah, resourcefulness, getting things done, planning, and being able to be flexible along the ways, because you can only plan so much and you can never influence everything, and there's bound to be something along the way that doesn't work out, and then be okay with that and surf the waves, so to say. It's like, okay, this has come up, just let's throw all of this out of the window, and this is how we're going to do it now, and be able to take risks around it and enjoy it,
right?
And I think everything along the way kind of led me to be here now in in Vancouver. And I don't know, even like thinking sometimes back to it's like when straight after school I wanted to do a gap year in England, and and it's like thinking back, like, mom, why did you let me, or my parents, why did you let me go? It's like I don't know, it was because there hadn't been anything around it, like it wasn't a big thing back then. And oh my God, back then it sounds like I'm a grandma. and my mom said, well, I didn't really have a choice. You seem to have everything planned out, and you did all your research. And when you presented it to me, it was like, yeah, sure, that sounds about right. And there was a fallback option somehow. And I was like, okay. So it didn't really have the awareness back then, but I just presented them with a plan of this, why this was the best thing to do, and all the steps that I've taken in between. And it's like, well, it seemed to be what you wanted, and solid arguments. And it's like, yeah, there was always something, you knew what you wanted to do and how you're going to do it, and okay, that's what you did.
Right. Oh, I like that. So you just kind of, you took it one step at a time, it sounds, and then you just kind of winged it from there.
Yeah. I mean, even before I moved from Spain to Ireland, I had interviewed, I was working with a lot of Irish tourists, and I would basically interview them for the best place to live in Ireland. I knew I wanted to go to Ireland. So for about half a year, I asked them, it's like, where's the best place to live in Ireland and why? And yes, I've never been there. What would you recommend to do? And da, da, da. And yeah, then I moved there, and I didn't realize that I moved on the biggest holiday, long weekend, which was St. Patrick's Day. It's like, out of all the things that I you know, researched, I did not realize I was moving over with my two suitcases in hand on the biggest celebratory weekend that they had, and nothing was open.
Oh wow.
It was just strange, but hey, you do with it, and you know, we made it work, and it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I think the key to all of that, like all of your moving experiences, is that it always works out, like somehow, you know, even if you have a really bad experience, it's like you still got through it somehow.
Yeah, that's the thing, there it wasn't always easy, right? Yeah. And there were definitely some setbacks, but for me it was there was a really defining moment really early on. So the first time I moved abroad was to England, and the first few months it was actually pretty cool. I really liked it. Everything was new and shiny, and how do I make it work? And then I got so homesick, like I would just cry, and it was really an impactful thing. But it's like, well, you have two choices. You can either just throw in the towel and go home, or you're going to make it work. If you're going to make it work, you need to do something to make it work, because the state I was in emotionally was not gonna cut it. Like, it was pretty awful. Right. And once I made the decision, I'm going to make it work, then I was like, okay, what does it take? What do I need to do to make it work? And I actually really enjoy my time here. And I made a list of things, of how to meet more people, how I wanted. I went back to college. I signed up for lots of cultural things and just meeting people. And I had a full-on plan, and it was beautiful. But I knew I did not want to feel that, you know, homesick anymore. And I think that was such a defining moment that throughout, every time I moved to other countries, I was always like, okay, I want to avoid feeling homesick. So these are all the things that I need to do right away when I get there, and make sure that I meet people, I feel home in my four walls, and, you know, build up my network and really get kind of integrated in the places where I move to. Right. And once you make a decision, that's it. Even if it's awful, if you want to make it work, you make it work, and mm-hmm. you need to be resourceful and creative around this. And sometimes that, you know, full circle, you need a coach to kind of help you along the ways to get that done.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's your resourcefulness. You're making sure that you have the support you need to get to your goal.
Yeah, 100%. Which actually reminds me, I forgot to ask you one question, which was, who do you think can benefit from life coaching?
Basically, I want to say everyone.
Yeah.
But so we already covered the part when you say when, you know, someone is say diagnosed with something that they definitely need to see a therapist for. So in those right. cases, not. Mm-hmm. And you need to be in a position where you really want to make changes, mm-hmm. right? So and it comes back to that kind of really 100% in partnership. Both the coach and the coachee have to be 100% in. Mm-hmm. If the coach does more work than the coachee is willing to put in, it's not going to work. Yes, right. I'm going to cheer you on, but you still have to do the work. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to be uncomfortable, to put in the work. Mm-hmm. And essentially what that, I guess, means is you need to be really motivated to get away from where you are right now. Basically, right. you can't stand where you are. You really want to move and make that mm-hmm. change happen. You want to achieve your dreams and your goals.
Yeah.
You are so uncomfortable right now that, yeah, anything to make it work. And be ready to make that change, work for that change. I think that's the prerequisite of going in.
Right. Yeah. I'm like low-key, like, I need to see a life coach. It just sounds like so beneficial. Like, yeah.
Right? I know. Everyone should have one.
Yeah. I honestly, I wish so badly that I knew about life coaches when I had just left high school. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I knew. But it, obviously it's fine. I made it work. But if I knew, I just feel like it would have been so freaking helpful to have like guidance to, you know, instead of feeling like so lost for like quite a while and just, you know, being able to get that self-awareness built up quicker. I think it just would have been amazing. But you know what? Putting it out into the universe now.
Yeah,
exactly. Making more people aware of it. So. Yeah.
You know, one thing that can really help, like one exercise to kind of help guide you, and that's something that came to me just a few years ago as well. So but since then, it's really helped me make decisions, even really tough ones, a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And it may sound a bit like out there, but if you can identify what you value in life, that makes it a bit easier. So identifying your values. So values is something that you hold really, really dear, something that you say really guides you in decision making. I feel it's a bit like those moonstones when it's dark. So you have those stepping stones. So even if you don't know everything around it, using those values as stepping stones towards making a decision really, really helps. So for instance, for me, what I value a lot is learning and personal growth. You can see now we're recording this via Zoom. I have lots of books around me. And I read a lot, not just that. It's like I read a lot of everything that's going on like social media or in the newspapers and talk with people. I'm just very curious by nature. I've always been the one with the questions. So that's right. something that I, that is something, that's one of my values. Mm-hmm. Another one is integrity. Mm-hmm. So being open, honest, trustworthy. That's something I hold dear, not just for myself, but in others as well. And right. then something around, say, community and bringing people together. So mm-hmm. that really plays out in, you know, coaching and the coaching community that I've done. It all is reflected in this. That things around diversity and inclusion. It's bringing people together, loads of diverse people together. Mm. And I like, that's also one of the things I love about Vancouver. It's so diverse. There's so many different things happening.
Right.
I really love it here. And that's also why I've been to all these countries.
Right.
So when I have a, when I need to make a tough decision, say a business decision or a personal decision, and I don't really know, you know, where to go, it's like, hey, does that, is that in alignment with what I really value in life? Or mm. is that something that is actually in conflict with that? So if there's someone out there who just wants to do things on their own and they don't involve other thing, other people, then that's fine for them, but that's not necessarily how I work. I work very collaboratively with other people.
Right.
So for instance, that's one thing. It's, you're still respecting the other person, but it's not, say, in line with what you're doing. So if you, if someone else is listening right now and they're a bit lost or don't know really what to do, a really good step is to identify your personal values, and they might change over time.
Right.
You know, it's like I just had a baby boy, and hey, yes. there's a, thank you. there are different values, right? Yeah. It was like, it shifted slightly to include him as well. Right. Obviously. It's, you know, maybe traveling the world right now is not so such a good, such a good idea, but a bit more stability maybe. Or it might be something else, or someone else was like, hey, I want a lot of diversity. I want to have lots of different experiences. So I'm going to have lots of different things going on right now because that's what I value. That's what I want. But it's different for everyone. So it's a good place to start. And usually when you have go into a coaching relationship with someone, that's also bound to come up. It's like, what do you value? Sometimes it's, some coaches have this type of exercise as part of their standard kind of first few coaching sessions because it's so impactful. It shows up everywhere. And so sometimes, you know, there you might start off with something like that to identify what that is, and then move into the topics that, you know, you want to achieve or the goals that you want to achieve. And for others, it comes up naturally throughout a conversation, but it's all about self-awareness. You need to start inside with you first around self-awareness, and then you can put it into action and out in the world.
Right. I love that. Even just the identifying your core values, that's like huge. Like, I'm like, wow, I'm gonna go like journal, do the questions you did earlier. I want to do that as like journal prompts, and then also just try and think about like what my core values are, because I think those things are very helpful.
Did anything come up right away for you when I said what it is for me? Did one or two values come up for you right away?
Like just being curious and reading a lot, and being collaborative and always asking questions. I was like, yeah, I've always kind of been like that too. And that, but also I am very like introverted, and a lot of my hobbies growing up are like things that you would do alone or that you can do alone. Like say I took a pottery class recently and I was like, would I want to be a ceramicist? But I'm like, I don't know if I would fully enjoy it because it is kind of a very like solo activity. So I'm like, I don't know if I would enjoy that fully, if that makes sense. So that's something that I'm going to think about.
And it's like, there's no, like, judgment there. It is just what it is. And when you come up with a few things, maybe combine them, right? It's like, and maybe see where it comes up in your life. Obviously, you're doing a podcast, you're interviewing other people, so you're asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So sometimes it helps, like, looking at what you already enjoy very much right now, because you're naturally drawn to those things.
Right.
It's like, what makes you talk really, like, with enthusiasm? What do you wish more people talk to you about? Because you know, you're just bursting to get it out there, but maybe people don't know. So look at those things and see what comes up. Just be curious around it too. Just like, oh my god, you're gonna be able to fill a whole journal just with everything that I brought up today.
Well, I was gonna say, like, it's really nice talking to you, because when you talk about this stuff, like, your eyes really, like, light up, and I can tell you have so much passion and enthusiasm for it. And that's, like, what I hope that people can discover. And I'm sure, just from what you've said today, it's very helpful to people. And I hope that they will go look into your website and your podcast, which are incredible. And just hopefully even look into actually coaching with you or one of your other coaches.
Thank you so much.
It's
been lovely talking with you. I can't believe the time is already over.
It's
just like this, and I was holding back. I was like, you know, I'm always the one with the questions too, so we could just
go on for it. I know. It's like when two podcasters get together, it's just like an endless conversation, because so many questions to ask. But I really appreciate your time today. It was such a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, same with you, Jen. Thank you so much. And actually, on the side, I saw you on Instagram the other, because I follow you on Instagram as well, and I saw your pictures about the pottery class. I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Because for me right now, it's like, just calm down everything a bit as well. And when you're just there doing your own thing and you're creating stuff. And it's like, it was a bit of longing coming up there for me too. And it's like, what is that? What is that like? And just, you know, it's kind of this back to basics and just doing. I know someone who just took up knitting or painting and stuff like that. And it's such a beautiful
experience.
Creative thing.
Honestly, I highly, highly recommend it. That place is Studio Fundamentals, and she's just, like, so entertaining, and it just feels like you're hanging out but also creating stuff, and it's such a calm environment that it felt like meditating. And so it was like, it was like a nice reset, and I think it really helped me.
It's the tuning in with your body, right? It's like, what's going on? And actually, meditation is part that sometimes comes up in coaching as well.
Like
taking a breath and just checking in what's going on in your body, and being more mindful around what's going on inside you before maybe you react, or, you know, it's like, hey, why am I so, you know, what was it that just made me go so, I don't know, maybe angry? I don't know, what maybe just light up? What is it? Why am I so, you know, I don't know, enthusiastic right now? That's kind of come out of the blue.
Totally. It was like when I showed up to one class and I was kind of stressed out, and I was trying to, like, do the clay thing, and you really have to be, like, mind body connected and, like, in harmony. But I definitely wasn't that day, and it was like I forgot my muscle memory, and the clay was just like it felt like the clay was fighting me, and I was like, I don't know what's happening. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, my mind is so, like, I'm so in my head right now, I'm not really connected to my body. And then it kind of got better, but it was very interesting.
And now it's like, where else does that show up in your life? If you're not, you know, if that isn't connected.
Oh, that's so, you're making me think so much in the best way, and it makes me so happy. I love it. I feel like I got, like, a free session from just interviewing you. But yeah, that's so true. I'm literally gonna, like, right after this, I'm gonna think about all of these things and just see where it takes me.
Curious around it.
Yeah, honestly, the best, like, thing you can be curious about, I think, is yourself, because that really is where you get that self-discovery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, say to people, like, you're like your own case study, like,
yes,
figure out why you think that way and how you can maybe change it, you know. It's very interesting, like, when you start thinking about those things.
Yeah. I don't know who said it, but there was one of my favorite quotes is, it's like, the best project you're ever going to work on is yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard that one too.
Yeah.
That's probably where I got that. I can't take credit.
Inspired.
But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's been so cool. True. Thank you, Jane.
Yeah. And just lastly, could you quickly say, like, where people can find you, like, if you want to put, like, your Instagram, if it's like your mm-hmm. business one and whatnot?
Yeah. So the website is coachmevancouver.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's all the coaches I'm working with on there. There's also a collaboration section specifically for myself and lots of different ways. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and on Instagram. On Instagram, it's at Nadine Stiller, so NadineStiller. Oh my god. And Coach Me Vancouver. And it's the same on LinkedIn and all the other channels, but Instagram is probably the one that we're most active right now, and that's a bit of a revamp coming up as well. So
exciting.
Exactly.
I'll put all the links in the description so it's easier for people to find.
Yes.
But yeah, thank you so much again for your time, Nadine.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll talk to you at some point in the future.
That would be great. Yeah, let's stay connected. I love what you're doing as well and follow you on Instagram and all your journeys. That's a lot of interesting things. So thank you.
Well, thanks. Same goes for yours. Yeah. All right. Well, have a great day. And thank you again.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
If you have any comments, questions, concerns, or requests for future episodes, please email imanadultnowwhat@gmail.com. I read every email and would love to hear from you. Please subscribe to receive future updates on episodes, and if you feel like it, please rate this podcast on your streaming platform of choice.